We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, Now is the Time to Restore the Legal Protection of Every Innocent Human Life, to protect human life in the womb, out of the womb, to protect human life at the end of life, and to protect the disabled as well. And we have been talking about this because even though the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the Dobbs decision to strike down the Roe versus Wade decision, even though that happened, we actually have seen that abortion still continues in our state. In fact, last year we performed more abortions than the year before. And even with the passage of the new 6-week ban, which is not enforced yet due to a Florida Supreme Court decision and due to the authors or the sponsors of that bill, including language that would make it subservient to the Supreme Court. But even when it is in place, there's still babies will still be killed by abortion in our state. And it is vital. It is important. It is a necessity for us as a people. This is the civil rights. This is the civil rights fight of this century, of this day, of this time, and it is time to restore the legal protection to every innocent human life. Yet there are some, including some in the pro-life movement, that are saying, well, we can't really do this. This is not something that we can do yet. And they're looking at polling numbers, and they're basing what we do on what the polls say versus on what God says. And we have shown from the Bible that God calls us to defend innocent human life, to in fact rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death, to hold back the slaughter, to stop and to not faint in the day of adversity. We have looked at, and we have been looking at Hebrews chapter 11, which is often called the Hall of Faith, and talking about how God actually has worked through people throughout history to do things that didn't look possible, that didn't seem possible. And in fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then God goes on to actually show and give several examples, including Noah, who built an ark before rain had ever happened, and warned people to repent of their sins and to go into the ark. We know that Noah and his family went into the ark. If Noah had not been obedient, well, the entire human race would have ended. We look at Abraham, who had faith to leave his homeland and go to a foreign country, and where he was really just traveling. He was a vagabond. But God told him, you're going to inherit this land. And he had faith. Isaac had faith. We also know that God worked through others to have faith, including Joseph, to have faith that God would raise the children of Israel up from bondage and would actually ordered them to take his bones back to Israel, back to that promised land, the Canaan land. we see also that not only did Abraham and Isaac have faith and Joseph had faith, but we know Moses didn't wait around until Pharaoh was favorable to let the children of Israel go. No, he started calling, "Let my people go." And it really took a decimation of the Egyptians and really the death of their firstborn before Pharaoh would finally let them go. And then he still chased them with his army. You know, the Israelites didn't even want Moses to do what he was doing, but he didn't listen to what they said. He took his orders from God himself. We also see that we talked about Joshua last week and how multiple times Moses and then God himself instructs Joshua to be bold, to be strong, to be of good courage. And even one of the things that we didn't mention last week is that Joshua went to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh that had received their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan. And the deal was that they would cross over the Jordan and fight until the children of Israel had taken the Canaan land, and then they could return to their own land. And so Joshua reminds them of that, and they say, "We will do this as we were with Moses. We will also be with you." And then they end the end of chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 18 says, they are actually instructing Joshua and reminding Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. Imagine if Joshua had not heeded the words of Moses, and had not heeded the words of God, and had not heeded the words of Reuben and the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, and had been fearful. And certainly from the looks of Scripture, with how many times he was actually admonished to be strong and of good courage, certainly there would have been a propensity to actually not be strong, to be afraid, to look at the culture. In fact, you know, we realize this 40 years earlier. The children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and the reason they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years is because they sent 12 spies to go into the land, and those 12 spies came back, and 10 of them said, "The land is full, it's plentiful, there's harvest, this is a really lush land that God has promised us, but there are giants in the land and we're not able to take them." And now, do you think that within 40 years those giants had gone away? No, the giants didn't go away. The Canaanites were just as strong as before, yet God was with them, and God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. If he hadn't been strong and of good courage, well, the children of Israel might not have inherited the promised land. We also looked at Gideon. We looked at Gideon a few weeks ago, where God told Gideon to be strong and to have courage and to go out and to defeat the Midianites. And God even said, "There's too many people with you. You need to reduce the size of your army, because if you defeat them, then people will say, well, we did this by our own hands. I want everyone to know that this is from God, and the victory is from the Lord." And so the victory actually started with only 300 people. And then what we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is we see God saying, you know, what would happen, you know, time would fail if we were to talk of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And we're going to actually look at David and Goliath today, which is just a huge lesson for us that God is able to do things through us that seem impossible. God is the God that is capable of doing great and mighty things. Don't ever look at something that God has called you to do and say, it's not possible, so I'm not going to do this. And we look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 4, and we read, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze, bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'You have come out to the line. Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now, just to give you some perspective on how big Goliath was, it says here that he was 6 cubits and 1 span. Now, a cubit is actually 18 inches, so 6 cubits would be 9 feet. And a span is 9 inches, so he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. If you were in a room that was had a 10-foot ceiling, Goliath's head would almost hit the ceiling. Also, the weight of his armor was over 125 pounds. The weight of the tip of his spear was over 15 pounds. And he is out there defying the armies of the Lord and calling for them and challenging them, "Give me a man and we will fight." And we see here that Saul, the king of Israel, and all Israel, when they heard his words, they were dismayed and were greatly afraid. Now, In verse 16, we read, "And the Philistines drew near and afraid. He drew near and prevented himself 40 days, morning and evening." So 40 days in the morning and the evening, he was challenging the children of Israel, "Come here and fight with me. Give me a man and fight. If you defeat me, then I will be you. We will be your servants. If I defeat that man, then you will be our servants." And they already were his servants at that point. This was something where the Philistines were constantly at war with the children of Israel. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 20 through 29. "So David rose early in the morning." And this is, by the way, his father is sending him to the battle to actually bring some supplies and to see how his brothers are doing and to bring back word. So David's not going there to fight. David at this point was just a teenager. He's not going to fight. He's just going to bring some supplies, and he's going to actually bring back word to his father. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse, his father, had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hands of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and will give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the Lord, of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said to him, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And then we pick it up in verse 33. And Saul said to David, David had come to Saul and said, "Hey, I'm willing to go up and fight against this Goliath. I'm willing to take him on." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out against it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you have come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give it into our hands." So it was, when the Philistine arose and came near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell down on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. Then the Philistines saw that their champion was dead. They fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road up to Shearim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine, brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So Saul saw David going against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant, the Bethlehemite, and Jesse the Bethlehemite." And this is really just a remarkable story. And you may recall that David took five stones, and some people have speculated, well, maybe he thought he might miss, or he thought he might need an extra shot. But really, Goliath actually had four brothers, and David was prepared to kill those four brothers as well. David, in convincing Saul to let him go and fight this man, and now you know the consequences of this. The consequences of this is that if David was defeated by Saul or by Goliath, that Israel would be the servants of the Philistines. And if David defeated Goliath, that the Philistines would be the servants of Israel. And so there was huge consequences for this battle. And so, you know, it took some convincing of Saul. And David says, well, you know, I was watching my father's sheep, and a lion came to kill the sheep, and I defeated the lion with his bare hands, and he also had defeated a bear. These are not things that are possible for a human to do, yet God empowered him to do them. And it was not humanly possible that David could take on this giant, yet God gave this giant into David's hands. And it may not be physically possible for us to stand up right now and to protect every innocent human life, but God has called us to be faithful. He's called us to be, in fact, not just faithful, He's called us to be people of faith. He's called us to be obedient. He's called us to have faith that He will do what He has called us, that He will do what He can do. He will empower us to defeat those who want to shed innocent blood. And we have the truth on our side. Every human being is created in the image of God. Every human being is human and should be protected even in the womb. Even those who are created in laboratories, we should not allow scientists to be experimenting on human life. And humans at the end of life, we should protect them. We need to restore the sanctity of human life and work until we see every innocent human life protected in our state, in our nation. We need to not faint, to not be fearful, but to rise up and to do what God has called us to do. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Done, nailed into your head.